ought to build upon that, and we ought to be encouraged by the fact that no matter what comes, your goodness is still going to be there. And Father, I just thank you as we sing that tonight, what a reminder it is, and Lord, as we study around your word tonight, I pray that you are honored and glorified, Lord, that you'll just give us the clarity, give us the understanding we need. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. This evening, as we have been doing recently on our Sunday night studies, pulling something from this morning and just highlighting a little bit, talking about it a little bit. And one of the areas I want to go to is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, talking about the comfort of God. So if we turn there, we're going to study that out a little bit. And as we look at this, one of the many paradoxes of a Christian life is that we should so desperately and earnestly want the grace of God in our life. And I don't know of anybody who is not a Christian that doesn't desire to have God's grace. Paul talked about it often in many of his letters, especially in 2 Corinthians. And in fact, this whole second letter basically is one where you can see that there are trials, there are tribulations, and Paul was always very transparent in his sufferings for Christ. And so when we see this and we understand that a lot of times we want that, but most of the time we experience the grace of God more in the bad times than the good times. And sometimes we forget how good our God is and the grace of our God in the midst of our good days because we're not looking for it. And I was talking with an individual about the famous question, you know, could God have sinned or did he just not sin? Well, the answer for me thus far in my studies is that he could not have sinned because the only way we sin is because we have a sin nature, which he never didn't have. He couldn't have sinned because he didn't have the sin nature. Some say, well, because he was 100% God, he couldn't have sinned. Well, he emptied himself of that. Even though he was God, he emptied the use of the kenosis, Philippians says, emptying himself of the use of his gifts of being Christ, of being God, as he emptied them and he became the man, he could not have sinned because he did not have the sin nature to sin. And so we were talking about this and wondered what it would be like to be in a place for a moment without the sinful nature and still face all the things we face in life. Our decisions would probably be different. I definitely know our attitudes would change. All things that we go through in life. And Adam was that way, I believe, before the fall. I believe before the fall, Adam had the ability, I mean, the wisdom that he had to name everything. And he had the ability to commune and walk physically with God, in the presence of God. And so with that sin nature, we have a desire to be or desire to have the grace of God. But how difficult is it in our life to be able to stay there and to even in the good days, submit and surrender, get out of the way and let God be God. Because as we go through this, and I think this is very important because when we go through life, God knows that we need to go through some things so that we will see his grace, that we will experience his grace. And Paul deals with this pretty clearly in the first chapter. And I want to jump through his salutations there in verses 1 and 2 and jump down into verse 3 because it's very important to pull that out because that's where it begins. When it says, "Blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." We need to think of this for a moment because Paul just gave him three titles. He gave him three titles and basically, as we see the wording, identical to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, those phrases are very important. But the Father would exemplify the originator, the Father, the God who started it all. And so he's given credit to that and the compassion. And he says, "Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies or comfort, and the God of all comfort." So he's tying his mercies and comfort together. When you and I understand about the comfort of God, we need to understand that comfort that we get comes from his mercy. Now, what does the word mercy mean to you and I? The word mercy means is we don't get what we deserve. His grace is we get what we don't deserve. His mercy, we don't get what we deserve. So in his mercy, that's where we find our comfort. And Paul explains that very clearly as we see through the text. But blessed be this God. Why? Why would Paul say blessed be the God when he's talking about the troubles and he's talking about the pressures, the distresses, many things. Paul mentions it 9 times in through here about the stress and the pressures that he was under. And we're going to see as we go down through here a little bit, Paul comes very transparent in some of his own. And so he says, blessed be, and that blessed there obviously is the happy state or the joyfulness that we have. Why? Because we've got the originator. We've got the Father. We've got the God who started it all saying, I'm going to give you my mercy. I'm going to give you my comfort. And that's encouraging to me because there's a lot of things that I know I deserve, and by God's mercy, I don't get it. You know, every now and then, we need those awakenings or we need those understandings. And so, first of all, we find out that we need to have a joyfulness because we have a God who gives us mercy. Because without that, we don't have comfort. We see a world, we're living in a world where they're hopeless. They're comfortless. And they're seeking all the worldly ways of trying to get that. And all it does is make them deeper in the hole. It just continues to have them a stronger desire for it. And we have that. And so to me, if that is a precious jewel or a precious gem that you and I have from God, what are we doing with it? How can you do something with the mercies of God? You can answer that if you want. What can we do with that gift, that mercy that God has given us because we are his children? What can you do with the mercy? Okay, pass it on to others. How can we allow that mercy to be affected in our life? What do we do for that mercy to work with us? Mercy brings comfort. So if you're comforted in your situation, what should it look like? You continue to praise him in the midst of. You continue to live for him in the midst of. You don't turn your back on God. You don't quit your prayer life because you think God didn't answer your prayers. You don't stop serving and loving the God that has graciously given you mercy. Because how many times, I've heard it many times, you don't bite the hand that feeds you, right? Sometimes we try in our own minds and hearts, we cut off the only comfort we have. Because we blame God. We're blamers. We have to shift the blame. Everybody does. Adam started it the moment he sinned. God, it's your fault because of the woman you made me. I mean, he started the process and we've been blame shifting ever since. And so when something happens and we don't blame ourselves, of course, because we're never wrong. So we blame somebody else or we blame something else. We blame the doctors. We blame the hospitals. We blame what this, we blame that. We blame everything. In fact, if there's nobody to blame, we blame God. And so when we do that, we end up destroying the comfort because why? We're not appreciating the mercy that he's giving us. So one of the first things that you and I need to do and understand is that if we have to accept that mercy, which means I'm going to react differently in my situation. I'm going to look different in my situation because why? I've accepted the mercy and the comfort of God. Yeah, it's going to hurt. Yes, you're going to struggle. Yes, we're human. But we're going to look different. Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians 4. Don't grieve as those with no hope. We are to grieve, but just don't look like them. Just don't do it as the world does with no hope. We are going to hurt through our tribulations. We are going to hurt through life. But don't look like those who don't have the mercy of God. Don't go through life without that comfort. And again, the result of that working in us is portrayed by our continual prayer, our continual leaning on him, are continually wanting him more when it doesn't make sense. We don't understand. So Paul begins this phrase with three titles, and each one of those titles are saying, listen, this is a precious gift of God, and we need to be joyful. We need to be happy, and we're blessed with that. And I think it's very important, because when he continues to go on and talks about the troubles, because the source of, he takes those three titles and he puts it into one word starting in verse 4. Who? Who? Who gives us the comfort? Who's the source? Well, verse 3 said, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. That's the who. And he brings it down into that one word, who comforted us in our tribulations. He's the one that gives us that comfort and able to comfort them which are in trouble after we have been comforted. We are to comfort there within ourselves. We are comforted of God. And this is probably, like Rodney said, pass it forward or play it forward. But how can you play something forward if you haven't accepted it? How can you give somebody else comfort when you're struggling yourself? And listen, people know. People know. And people will look at you and say, you know, aren't you struggling with this? And now you're trying to help me through something? You know, you don't want to get that advice from somebody on how to fix a problem when the problem they haven't fixed. So it's, you know, it's like calling a mechanic to fix your computer. Do you know how a mechanic fixes something that doesn't work? He gets a bigger hammer. That's not a computer guy. At least that's how I do it. Tire don't come off, you get a bigger sledge. It'll come off. When you look at the comfort, when you look at what Paul's saying, you and I are given the responsibility. First of all, it's a tremendous blessing, a tremendous gift of God, his mercy. And if we accept that, and we, as verse 4 says, who comfort us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. If we don't accept that comfort and we don't take that comfort, we're not going to be able to help anybody. In fact, I will be so brave to say, you have no right to try. You have no right to tell somebody, or you have no right to try to help somebody get through life if you can't. Because you don't have the mercies understood. How can you give them something that you yourself have not got a hold of? So we, listen, if God says, this is what, I'm giving you my mercy, one, to comfort you, two, so that you can turn around and comfort somebody else. And I believe today there are many Christians stuck right there. We haven't taken the mercy of God and the comfort of God, and we haven't allowed it to affect our lives so that we walk differently, we look differently in the midst of our circumstance, so that we can turn around and comfort somebody else. And that's where I think we're stuck in that. And I think Paul had a tremendous hand on it. As we saw this morning in James, you know, it's to strengthen our faith. It has nothing more, it's no, nothing that's set there to tear us down, to take us apart. It's to build our faith up. And so the question at this moment, at this point is, there's two reasons why God gives us his mercy to comfort us and also so that we can have a ministry to comfort somebody else. So where are you with those two? Because I'm kind of assuming that we're all working with something. No matter how good life is, there's still something that just isn't squaring up. There's still something that just isn't quite right. So we're working on things, right? We're working with things. We have all the world to face. Some will go to work tomorrow. Some will go do other things tomorrow. And you're going to be out into a broken world. And so you're going to get hit with things. We're always working on something. And those are the two things that God says, listen, my mercy is for you. If you accept it and apply it to your life, then there's going to be a ministry on the end of that. You're going to be able to turn around and help somebody else. You're going to be able to turn around and comfort somebody else. So where are you in that process? Either you are accepting and you're preparing to see where God's going to take that, or you're not allowing that mercy of God to change you in your circumstance. Listen, God's mercy never changes the circumstance. That's not mercy. That's being spoiled. God never promised to spoil his children, but he promised to comfort them through, carry them through, always be with them through. And that word through is something very important in scriptures. Because as we walk through the valley of shadow death, you're walking through the valley. We walk through our troubles. We need to be walking through our griefs and our sorrows and the things that so easily beset us. As we go through them, God says, listen, when you get to the other side, as we could say, when you get through, don't forget to turn around and help others. Our Grief Share program was set up for that very reason, so that we can turn around and help others that are going through some of the things that we have gone through. And many things in your life that you've gone through that you can turn and you can help somebody else through their struggles. Listen, you can't have the ministry until you accept the mercy and work through your own struggles. And I think there are many people who are stuck in their own struggles. Therefore, they have no ministry. Therefore, God's not going to put them in a place where they can comfort somebody else. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, God's not using me. There may be a reason. There may be a reason for that. So Paul was pretty adamant when he says about the comfort and his situation there and how he unveils it, I think, in an order and the compassion that God gives us. This same comfort is what sustained Paul through his whole ministry. From the very get-go of the road to Damascus, he wasn't a light man. He wasn't a light man before he was saved. And he wasn't a light man after he was saved. Poor guy, nobody liked him. Probably because of what he did to everybody. But when he had the reputation of wanting to kill the Christians instead of save the Christians, his reputation preceded him. His reputation everywhere he went, to even fact where in Ananias, questioned God, you want me to do what with him? And the thing that we understand that's very significant about Paul's ministry is in Acts chapter 9, when God told Ananias, I will show him the things that he will suffer for my name's sake. Listen, Paul's suffering, it wasn't a punishment. It wasn't, oh, you know, he did all this to the church, so therefore I'm going to do all this. No, God knew that anybody who's going to stand up for Christ in that atmosphere, in that culture, was going to get persecuted. And don't worry, Ananias. He's going to understand what he did, because he's going to go through some simply because he's going to be my witness. He's going to be my missionary. He's going to be the one to tell him about my son. And so all of that coming into play, Paul uses, and again, we understand, we can go to Paul. Why? Because Paul was somebody who took the mercy of God in his life and allowed it to affect him to the point that it even made him stronger in the ministry. And we know that by going back to chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians, when he prays for this thorn, or he prays for this three times to depart from him, whatever was going on in his life. Many question what that is, from his eyesight to this thorn in the side of some of the people, the Antichrist people, the people coming after him, to the point of always being remembered everywhere he went, that there was widows and orphans. There was all kind of ideas on what that problem was in Paul's life. But when he prayed for it, Christ responds to him in verse 9 of chapter 12, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's a guy that when I'm hurting, I want to go to. When I want to go to Paul, because he's been there and he's worked through. And now he can turn around and comfort someone, because he knows what the comfort and the mercies and the grace of God will do in his life. Listen, folks, that's exactly what we need to do. That's exactly what we need to portray. People need to see that the mercy and the grace of God has affected our lives, and has affected it in such a way that when we turn to give them comfort, they'll say, yeah, I'll listen to this guy. I'll listen to this word. That's the ministry that God gives. Listen, we all need to have an outside ministry. We all need to have a front line. You hear me say it many times. We need to have a ministry outside the brick and mortar. And every one of us ought to have a ministry that we're able to pass on things to other people. Could be the person you meet at the grocery store. Could be the one who cuts your hair. Could be the whoever. could be anybody you run into. There's always a ministry waiting in the world in which we live. There's not one place you'll go where somebody doesn't need some encouragement, some comfort, just a little bit of lift me up. And I'm going to tell you, the only way we're able to be that, the only way we're able to be used like that is if we first handle our own struggles, our own issues by the mercy of God. And so Paul's very clear. That's the comfort he used. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by him. And Paul is saying in verse 5 simply, listen, all the things that we've gone through, the sufferings that Paul experienced were a consequence of his relationship with Christ. Paul suffered more because he talked about Christ than he suffered as he persecuted the church. Paul didn't suffer as he persecuted the church. They all ran from him. They didn't persecute him. He was persecuted when he gave up his way, followed God. Now, how does that make sense? Why would anybody want to sign up for that? My life's good until I become a Christian. Now it's all messed up. But you know, God says, listen, there's things that I want you to do. You need to be prepared to do them. You need to be groomed into them. Do you realize that God uses our whole life and the whole world we live in as a training ground? It's a training ground because we're just babes in Christ. We desire the milk instead of the meat. We don't move our faith as we talked this morning. God puts things in our life to notch our faith up, not to destroy us. And so God says, okay, you're going to go through things, but use them in a positive way. Notch them up. Use them in ministry as you go on. So Paul used them even in his own life. And in verse 6 he says, and whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffered. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and your salvation. What's Paul saying? Everything that I am going through is for you. Everything that I am suffering is for you. So that God will comfort me, and so you know that God will comfort you. Paul is saying, listen, I'm God's billboard. I'm God's example. I'm going through things because you're going to go through things. I'm being comforted because you're going to be comforted. And God's going to use me to help you be comforted. And listen, you'll go through things in life simply because. No other reason. Just because. And I hated that when my mom and dad gave me that answer. Because I said so. Well, that's not an answer. At least it wasn't to me. Sometimes God says the same thing. It's just because I want you to. It's just because I need you to be the example that others will see so that when you're comforted, they'll be comforted. When you're okay, they're going to have the knowledge and faith that they're going to be okay. And that's the playing it forward that I think God wants in our lives. And he says that again in verse 6, that they're afflicted for their comfort, consolation, and their salvation. And again, it's in their enduring, in the enduring of the same suffering. Listen, when you go through it because your relationship with Christ, when you go through things, Paul says, we go through them and you're going to go through them. We are comforted, you're going to be comforted. We can get through it, you can get through it. And so if you have a whole group of church people who are suffering something and they won't work through it, then the world's going to look at them and say, well, wait a minute, you've just stopped the whole cycle of God's ministry. Because you're not working through it, that means I'm not going to get it. That means I can't be comforted because you sure don't look comforted. I don't know if I want your God if he's not doing you any good. And you can very easily see how the world looks at Christians and says, well, so where's their God? Where's their God that's going to protect them and get them through all this? Listen, he's there, and his mercies, blessed are we that he gives us his mercy. It's just that we don't accept it. We do not allow the mercy of God to change our perspective, to change our attitudes, to change the way we work through the tribulations, the struggles. And we need to. And listen, I'm not saying, you know, walk through the fire with a big smile on your face. Be real. People know when you're fake. Be real. But don't get stuck. That's the key issue. We're going to get hurt. We're going to crumble. We're going to cry. We're going to be feeling terrible. Our days are going to be just absolutely like time stop, but nobody else will. But don't stay there. Have the reality of it and work through it. That's exactly what Paul is saying. We need to work through. Interesting in verse 7, he says, "And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye also be of the consolation." Man, what was Paul saying? Paul's saying, listen, I know you as a church in Corinth. I know you're going to make it. I know you're going to be okay. And I can't tell you how many times that I've gone to people and said, listen, you're going to be okay. I'll see you on the other side of surgery. You're going to be all right. And that just brings an instant, well, how do I know that? Because I know my God. And I know what my God has done for me. That's playing it forward. Now, we're not a prophet. We get, you know, and I always pray, Lord, please don't let that come back and bite me. Get him through surgery. Let me see him on the other side. So when we look at that, and it's interesting because as you look through those three verses, it's in verses 6, 5, 6, and 7, there's three different phrases that he uses on the help that he's getting. In referring to the suffering of Christ in verse 5, for as the suffering of Christ. In verse 6, he's referring to the suffering that we suffer. And it states there, of the suffering in the middle through the verse, enduring of the same suffering which we suffered. And verse 7, it goes into our suffering, the things that we will all suffer, the things that you and I will suffer together, or the same suffering. So three different areas of suffering. Paul handles all of it. It's either you're going through something that I won't go through, I went through something that you won't go through, or we'll go through things that are similar. Paul said it doesn't matter. It's the suffering that leads to the consolation. And I love the way he says it in verse 7. Our hope of you is steadfast. I know you're going to be okay. Why? Knowing that as ye are partakers of suffering, you shall also be comforted. I know my God is going to let it be okay with you. The question is, are you going to let it be okay with you? Are you going to accept the mercies of God? And I think that's the key to this whole passage. Paul's saying you have to accept the mercies of God. You've got to let that mercy in your life. You've got to let that mercy change your outlook, as we shared this morning. Glass half full, glass half empty. You're missing the opportunity to fill it. You got to not look at the glass and look at the opportunities to work through, to move through. Not move on. Move on suggests that you leave something behind. Can't do that. You cannot leave the brokenness that you face, suffer, behind. It's here. It's going with you. Struggles of the heart don't change location. Why? Because you can't take your heart out and leave it somewhere. It goes with you wherever you go. You work through by his mercy, by his comfort. God strengthens. God allows you to work through it. Your faith in him gets built. And you turn around, and it's amazing how many people you will talk to that have gone through the same things you've gone through. And they're reaching out. And you can simply say, listen, let me tell you, I've been there. And you can use your testimony. I've used my testimony of what God put me through probably 100 times. Because I face people every day going through the Haunting Center. I face people every day going through brain tumors and cancer. I face people every day who have the tubes coming out their head because they got brain tumors. I'm like, listen, let me tell you my story. Let me tell you what God can do. You comfort people when you've been comforted. It's amazing. It's great. Because one, it builds your faith in God. Plus, it puts a little bit of sense in the nonsense. puts a little bit of reason to why. This is the reason. If you ever want a reason why you've gone through something, this is it. Because God says, I need you to understand. I need you to go comfort these people. You need to go comfort them. That's why Paul says, I'll become all things to all people so that I may win some for Christ. Paul's willing. Paul wants, give me, I'll glory in my infirmities. I'll glory in my struggles. Why? Because Christ's mercies is seen and known through his life. Man, that's a tough place to be. I won't pray that prayer. I'll be straight up. I ain't going to pray that prayer. I don't want to suffer all things so that I may talk to somebody about it. I've suffered enough, right? At least according to me. God may have another story, and I shouldn't say that as I go for surgery in a few days. But anyway, may not be a good thing to say. As you look at what Paul's doing, again, I want to bring this into the close, because the hope that Paul talks about in verse 7, verse 8 says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measures above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul says, listen, I want you to know it hurts. I want you to know I've been through quite a bit. I want you to know that I have been through what you're going to go through. I have been there to the point of life despair, to the point that I didn't know if my life was even going to be able to get through it. The experience that is talked about is always debated on what the experience is, but Paul wanted them to know that the hardships, basically what was going on in his life, and it goes on and says in verse 9, but we had sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Think about what he just said. Do you have that much faith in your God? Do you have that much faith in his power and mercy? Because I believe when Abraham, we talked about Abraham while going up to the mountain today. When Abraham went to the mountain, I think he in his mind has said, if God has me kill Isaac, he's going to make another way. Because my God is that good. My God is going to not forsake his promise. He's going to make it happen some way. But yet we live our faith. As he says in verse 9, that the sentence of death, but that we should not trust in ourselves. Paul says, listen, I'd have given up the ghost. I'd have taken death. That's how bad he was being persecuted. That's how bad it hurt. I'll take it. But in my own strength, that ain't it. But how did they handle it? But in God, which raises from the dead. If they were going to kill me and God wanted me to serve, he's going to raise me from the dead. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The phrase that they made to King Nebuchadnezzar. If God saves us, it's okay. If not, we're not going to bow down to you. We're leaving it up to God whether we live or die. We're going to continue to serve our God. I'm going to tell you what, that's huge. That is a life that has been built on experience after experience and experience of God's mercy. And it's a life that's been built by faith stronger and stronger and stronger every time. And if God is going to see you through it, he's going to see you through it. If he's going to... That to me speaks volumes, because Paul simply said that my trust is in a God that could raise me from the dead if he wants to. If I die, now was not Paul stoned and left for dead? And he got up and walked away from it, didn't he? They thought he was dead. And listen, I don't think they would just throw a pebble and walk away and say, we got him. I'm pretty sure if you've ever studied what that entailed, a stoning, they would come to a 6-foot wall. And you were underneath that 6-foot wall, and they would get boulders. They weren't a little pep. They would get boulders and throw them down that 6-foot wall, and they would be hammering you and hitting you until you no longer moved or had breath in life. Paul got up from that. He learned from that. If my God wants me dead, I'm dead. If my God wants to raise me up, he's going to raise me up. I'm putting all my trust in him. That amazes me. That's the kind of guy I want to be. That's the kind of guy I want to be. I'm not afraid. I'm not fearful. I'm not playing in the middle of the road, but I'm also not fearful of what can happen. Because a man that lives in fear is a man that's not living. He's already dead. Because he's afraid to do everything. You got to live in the mercy and the grace of God. Continue on. And I think that's where Paul brings it. And he says again, and even in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also being together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us, that by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Paul ended this section asking them to pray for them. That's what's interesting. Because after he just said, he's trusting in verse 9, the God that could raise from the dead. But then he's saying, listen, pray for us that we stay there. Pray that we stay with that mindset and that heart set. Pray that we can have that in our lives. That tells me that even Paul, in all his understanding, struggled. He struggled with the persecutions. He struggled with what God was doing in his life. Just like you and I do. We struggle. And in his struggle, what did he say? Pray for me. Man, we ought to be praying for each other left and right. We ought to be praying for each other every day. Because every day you and I are going to face things that we can't face alone. And every day we're going to see things that we're going to want to help people. And we need the prayer support of God's children, of God's people. And so I think he ended on a very encouraging note. And he says in verse 11, you also, or you, helping together by praying for us. You're helping us keep that faith. You're helping us comfort, or helping the comfort of God allow that to comfort us as we comfort everybody around us. And so to me, I think it's very important, because the great pressure that Paul was under basically is less, it was far beyond human ability to handle it alone. He says, I can't do this by myself. And I'm going to tell you, not one of us here can do life by ourselves. We can't. We may be able to skip through some days, and we may be able to skip through some seasons in our life, but we cannot do it by ourselves. And Paul said, that's why I'm trusting the God that can raise from the dead. They kill me, and God wants me. I've heard many times, God don't want me, and the devil's not ready for me. I hear that often in the hospital. My response is, listen, God, the devil will take you any day. You need to get ready for God to take you. And so the response and the conversation goes. But it's interesting as we understand, I think, what Paul is saying, how hard, but yet how great our God is when we take that and allow that to be applied to our life. Any questions or any statements in any of that? And you trust that. I mean, you know, as long as they show working through it, you don't want to get stuck with somebody. But yeah, I always tell everybody, listen, I don't know where you're at, but I know the road you're on. Because everybody handles life differently. Everybody handles struggles differently, and you find yourself in different places working through. So, the road's not a good one. The road's a rough one. But working through it is amazing. It's the only way. That's exactly what Paul said. The only way you do it. I can't trust myself, but I can trust the God that can raise from the dead. That's the power. And that's why he said in Philippians, I want to know the power of the resurrection. I want to know the power of God. Man, isn't it amazing that you and I have that power and ability in our lives? We just need to accept it through his mercy. Because that's where it all starts. That's where it all begins. So absolutely, I appreciate that. Any others, comments, statements? All right, let's go ahead and we'll pray and we'll close our time together tonight. Father, we thank you for all that you do in us and through us. And Lord, I pray for this as we study this tonight. And man, none of this is easy. It's very, very difficult to be able to go through life and face the struggles that we face. And Lord, some of the struggles we face is simply because we live in a broken world. There is no rhyme or reason to it, but you're still the God that comforts us. You're still the God that wants us to be able to take your comfort and work through and comfort others, because I believe that's a phenomenal testimony of who you are. And God, you are the God that can raise from the dead. You are the God that has the power over life and death. And that same power we need to tap into. And Lord, it's not that we go half-cocked and it's not that we go crazy. It's just that we need to go with no fear. And we need to work through life as you allow us to live it every day. God, we give you the praise for that. And I pray that we will have the ministry of comfort to those around us. Lord, we just lift it to you in your son's name. Amen. All right. Thank you. You are dismissed tonight.